I might be vulgar.
You can't. No, you'd be fine. We have an explicit tag.
Yeah. We only bleep things if you say somebody's name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
that's why it's called name redacted. That's what we censor is names.
Oh, my God. I gotta take my wallet out of my fucking pocket. Yeah.
Just say fuck all day.
Oh, my ass hurts so bad.
Oh, dear God almighty.
Oh, God.
Dude. Oh, Jesus.
So, got dude, oil all over my ass.
If this turns into another Petey Butthole conversation, I will
just
absolutely
hot oil all over my ass.
God damn it. How does this keep happening? Did we keep cutting Tony off about talking to us about what he did at New York Comic
Con? No, we're saving that.
Oh, we saving it?
Yeah.
Are we saving that for later?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess. All right.
Because I got to do more character work on the podcast.
It's not about the show anymore. It's just about making sure that Colin has time to practice.
What are you practicing?
I'm trying to, I don't know.
Tony's trying to talk.
I just want you to know right now that I'm seeing how long my headphone jack cable is. To see if I can get outside to smoke a cigarette.
And on that note, welcome to Name Redacted Podcast. I'm Colin Norris.
Sorry,
take a second. It's fine.
Oh God. Got it. I'm Alexander Fulmer.
And I'm Chris Nielsen.
And with us this week is a very old friend of ours, somebody who actually went to high school with Colin and me, our buddy Tony Zolo. So say hi to whoever the fuck is listening.
What's up, TV Land? How are you?
No one can see you.
This is true, and it would be really good if they didn't right now because it's a very awkward position.
I'm just imagining, are you just like half torsoed out your back door?
Nope, right now I am underneath my Wacom tablet. Trying to turn my computer.
Only you would say whack-em.
Whack-em!
When he said, like, I'm in a really weird and awkward position. I just see him doing yoga with a cigarette hanging off the side of his mouth, like, that's a good day.
Basically what I'm doing right now.
And now we're not getting any sponsorship love from Wacom, because he pronounced it whack-em.
We lose a sponsor every episode.
Day. But not Fruit Strike Gum. They're holding on strong.
Yeah, that one. No. We need to bring that back.
Yeah. I'll get a Fruit Strike Gum tattoo if we ever get over 500 subscribers.
Yeah, I'd do it. Wow. Tony, what have you been doing in New York, man?
Hold on. Tell me if the wind is too bad. Wow, it's windy out here. Jesus. I feel like I'm on a boat. All right. All right, wait. Is the wind too bad?
No, you're good.
Okay. All right, hold on. I want to light this thing.
This right now feels to me the same way watching the commentary on Venture Brothers feel, where you just hear Jackson and Doc light cigarettes and talk like with shit just hanging out of their lips. Like, yeah, we're talking about how the Venture Brothers are good and they're. So good.
So good.
All right. To me, whenever I hear Tony light a cigarette, I'm just like, we're outside at Heroes drinking. Yeah. Like,
God, I missed that. Good Lord.
Anyway, New York.
New York. What have I been up to? I live in the middle of nowhere, wine country.
Okay.
I'm surrounded by water, basically, where I live. The house that I'm in right now is on the canal. Off of the Sound. Wow. So it's really cool. I'm actually on the second story balcony of my home overlooking the canal and dealing with seriously crazy wind. The trees are bending in half.
Get your butler to turn it down. Money bag. No more balcony outside.
Is there like a guy passing under you on a gondola singing?
That's racist. Racist.
I wish I could say that actually, but this is actually the redneck. Let me put it to you this way. This is like going out to like Fayetteville. But it's more rural than Fayetteville.
More rural than Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Population 7.5.
I want to see that gondola.
There's
That
there's more deer than there are people out here. Let's put it that way.
It's 7.5, but that half is that mule what killed my boy.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm gonna put this out.
Mm. Went down the river and started
poking across. Hold on, wait. The stick.
Oh god, Tony, okay. Listen to you smoke a cigarette is like
cathartic. The best thing ever.
It's just it's smooth and sensual.
Yeah, it should be because
feel like Careless Whisper should be playing in the background.
those cowboy killers really are so smooth and sensual.
Yeah, aren't they?
No, so things have been interesting. I work at a vineyard during the day as a bartender.
Okay.
And at night, I come home and I work on comics. I work on freelance illustrations, doing storyboards and stuff for commercials and such. And yeah, that's about it, really.
But your beck and call is you're a colorist.
That's the colorist thing is what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
That's the real beck and call of it. That and try not to, you know, be buried in all of my collectible bullshit.
I could sell this shit off and I could buy an island.
Thought about it. Thought about it. The Star Wars stuff alone, I could probably buy myself a new car.
But yeah.
Instead, I blew up the BMW.
Good job. I'm proud of you.
Well, shut up. It's getting fixed. And I went and bought myself. Alex, did you own a Zuzu Trooper back in high school?
Oh, you know I did.
Yeah, that was actually Keenan's.
Yeah, that was Keenan Livermont's, and then I bought it off of him, and I owned it until I fucking totaled it. So.
Oh, well, guess what I bought 2 weeks ago?
An Isuzu Trooper?
Yep.
Is it the two-door?
No, it's a four-door. Uh-huh. And it's a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, mine was awesome. That thing, like, it wouldn't die. I kept trying to kill it, and it was like, nope, Japanese engineering, eat a dick, living forever.
Yeah, and yours was like, what, a 90-something?
93. Like,
yeah.
It was, the limited, like, two-door luxury edition.
Collector's edition.
Well, like, the luxury edition meant one thing. You pressed a button, and your fucking side view mirrors would James Bond themselves in.
Sick.
So you could make it down a narrow alley to escape from the guy chasing you in a Mini Cooper.
Who had mirrors hanging out.
Yeah, and then he gets stuck because his mirrors don't fold in.
Because I
make it through, and then, like, I deliver the package, and I get the briefcase, and then it blows up.
And you still have mirrors.
And I still have fucking mirrors.
You see, that's good. You had the Goodyear, the Trooper.
The good one.
I wasn't aware that Isuzu Troopers had Goodyears.
Yeah, well, apparently they do, because I bought a shitty one.
What did you pay for it, though? Like, $9?
I paid $1,000 for it.
Okay.
That's why. It's because you bought one worth $1,000.
Yeah, it's a 2000 Isuzu Trooper. I paid $1,000 for it only because it has a rebuilt transmission that's only 2 years old.
Oh, okay.
So that's a big plus.
Yeah.
I've already put $2,000 into it in 2 weeks.
Doing what? How many goats have you sacrificed to keep this thing running?
Well, you know,
$2,000. That's like 15 goats if I've done my goat conversion correctly.
You're off by a little bit, because I have a goat farm here, so I can get them at cost.
Get them at cost. You don't pay that bullshit. That's a sucker's game, paying that
That's
goat.
That's a sucker's game. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the goat blood is actually what's fueling that thing right now.
We're out of diesel. You got goat blood. Welcome to hell.
I'm just picturing Tony waking up every morning at 5 a.m. to start his sigil magic ritual to start the trooper.
I see, like, this image of him, like, just normal day, like, if it's a movie, like, guy just wakes up out of bed, stretches, goes, like, takes a piss, comes, gets coffee, walks out his front door, walks, like, into his backyard, and just, like, stretch, and then just reaches down, slits the throat of a fucking goat, just takes some of it in his hand, rubs it on his face, and goes, all right, car should start now, and just heads to the driveway.
Tony, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have to, like, put the blood into a gas can, or can you just, like, slit its throat and just, like, put it right in the tank?
Gravity.
Actually, what I do is I pop the oil top, the oil plug on top. Yeah, like the head gasket, the oil plug thing. And just hold the throat over that. And just
let it drip in.
Just blood-injected engine.
Yeah, and then, you know, leave the goat on top. Just leave the hood popped just enough so that the goat fits in there. And then I just sit there starting it, just trying to get it to kick over. And once it goes, just go.
This episode brought to you by PETA.
PETA Griffin.
So, what did you drop $2,000 on your new car? Mm.
Getting it ready for winter.
That's right. That's a thing up there.
It's a serious thing up here, guys. Especially out here where they don't salt the roads, they just throw sand on it.
Oh, God.
The beach. Hope you got tire chains.
Yeah. I just had to do suspensions, tires. Suspension tires, replaced a couple lines in the engine, spark plugs. Oh, fuck. What else? 2 oil changes and. I'll probably need brakes too. So, yeah.
So you bought a car, and then you built a car,
inside.
And you put it inside that car.
Basically.
Okay. I'm just making sure I got this right. Instead of spending $3,000 on a fucking car, we bought one for $1,000, sunk 2 into it, and it's still not ready.
I thought you were a car guy, Solo.
You see, I think that's the problem, because I've done all the work myself.
Okay.
And I just keep wanting to do more shit. That's the problem.
I mean, that's a common problem for everybody like that. Like, oh, I like this thing, so I'm just going to keep doing it even if I don't need to.
Just tinker, tinker.
Well, that's, you know, a normal person would have been like, oh, I'm going to put new tires on it and drive it until it explodes. Me going, wow, this is a good interior. Engine sounds like shit. All right, let's put fucking mud tires on it, lift it up a little bit. I'm going to put a winch on the front and call it off-road wheelie days. So, but yeah, I'm getting just, that's done now. I got to get it ready. That'll be the winter beater while I work on the Beamer for now.
Good.
Because I blew the engine on the Beamer after driving from fucking ass end of nowhere out here to Queens and then driving all the way back in one day.
Jesus.
And it was a little too much. Yeah, it was like a fucking 6-hour day of driving.
To go to Queens.
Yeah, just you know, looking for a winter car.
looking for a car, you blew out the car you had.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, oh,
that's so fucking not good.
Yeah, so I got an engine sitting in the garage, and I got a BMW that needs to pick the engine out, and all this other garbage. I'll get to that eventually. I'm not worried about it. More importantly, been working on comics, and
that's what we're here for.
This man is a professional.
That's what we're here for. Yeah, yeah. Side note, that's what we're here for.
You literally just got back like an hour ago from New York Comic Con, correct?
Well, I got back today. I was at work, but yeah, I got back the other day.
Okay.
Let's call it. I got back an hour ago from here from Comic Con, because that's what it feels like. My body still hurts. From one day of 176,000 nerds crammed into a building.
New York is up to 176,000?
Well, that was just on Thursday.
What?
Yeah.
That's got to be bigger than San Diego at this point.
It's probably getting close.
Yeah.
That's the number that they were throwing around on Thursday, was that there were 176,000 attendees.
I thought I was going to have a panic attack at Dragon Con. I don't know about all that.
I don't think we hit 176,000, but it goddamn felt like
that's
it.
That's still
and
over twice Dragon Con.
Yeah. Con was like 80.
Yeah.
75, 80 max. God.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Thursday, I got a pass for Thursday because I unfortunately couldn't. I don't know what happened, but I had a weekend pass, and then they canceled it on me, and then when I went to go get another weekend pass, they were sold out, and I couldn't get one. So I could only get a pass for Thursday. So Wednesday night, I left the Vineyard after working all day, drove an hour and a half to a family member's house, spent the night, got the portfolio and everything together, and then was on the train at 7 o'clock going into Penn Station.
Wow.
Got to Penn Station at about 7:30, 7:45. Walked the 11 and a half blocks from Penn Station to the Jacob Javits Center.
That's a hike.
It was a good hike. What made it worse was the fact that I had, like...
You got your portfolio with you.
Well, I had the portfolio in the backpack, and I had combat, like, work boots on because I left my sneakers at home.
Oh,
Mistake
number one was made early in the day.
Yeah.
Stop by a drugstore and been like, yo, man, let me get insoles and some slip-ons.
I almost bought shoes from a homeless guy. I was going to trade him.
You guys laugh, but you can walk around any corner in New York City and find somebody selling shoes.
Yep, it's not even a joke, actually.
Yeah. I thought you meant, like, buy it off the dude's feet. Like, you don't need those.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I was going to trade him. You know, here's my boots. I'll take your ratty-looking, piss-stained Nikes. But, you know, whatever,
it
works.
These ain't piss-stained, these Jordans.
Yeah, pretty much.
That could be any color of person, I'm just saying.
Why do you keep... Shut up, Colin. Stop talking.
Get to the Javits Center. Go and get my ticket, which was only about a 15-minute wait on the line. Not that big.
That's not bad. We waited longer at Dragon Con.
It was quick to just get the ticket. And then I proceeded outside, and you have to activate the ticket on your phone.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, they had a electronic activation for all the passes. So while I was trying to activate it, one of the staff members was like, hey, are you looking to get to the entrance? I'm like, yes, I thought I was at it. She's like, no, the line starts down there. So she points down the block. She's like, yeah, you see those big green banners? I'm like, oh, yeah, all the way at the end of the block. She goes, yeah, the line starts there. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever, no big deal. She's like, you might want to activate it while you wait online. I'm like, ugh, well, activate it takes 30 seconds. Why are we going to do it online? And I'm like, you know, I'll do it on the way down there. That was mistake number two because I definitely should have waited. Make it down to the end of the block.
Why?
Find
is it, what? Because of how long it took to wait in line, or?
Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you when I got to the end of the line.
We're going on a journey.
I found the start of the line a block down, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people and a lot of toilet paper and a lot of campsites like just set up on the sidewalk.
Oh.
So I'm like, wow, what the fuck? So I kept walking one block. And then another block.
Are these street blocks or avenue blocks?
No, these are street blocks.
Okay.
And then I had to make a left and kept following the line and ended up basically, long story short, following the line for about 8 blocks.
Whoa.
Which brought me back to the front of the Jacob Javits Center where the girl told me the line started down there. Failed to mention that if I made a right, I would have been on the line.
So, oh, it starts down there. Where does it end, bitch?
Yeah.
You need to know where it ends.
Oh. Yeah. So it ended about 6 feet from where I actually started that journey.
I had a punched her in the tit. Like,
you know,
just right not viciously, just a good pop. Yeah. Just a good pop right in the tit.
She's going to rack him.
So, I found the end of the line, and by the time I got to the end of the line, they had already started moving people inside. So I just ended up walking back the same way that I just came, all the way back to the entrance,
my God.
Which was so fun. That was about an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 45 minutes on the line to get back to the entrance. And then once we got back to the entrance. Instead of, you know, I'm like, you know, oh, great, we're here. We check in with our little electronic badges. You go through the baggage check so they make sure you don't have any guns, weapons, crack cocaine, whatever it is. And
I've never had to do that at a con either. Makes sense. It's New York City. Yeah?
Yeah. No, it was pretty intense. They didn't check me very thoroughly, which was great because I really didn't feel like having a cavity search. But they definitely looked like they were going to.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. But then everyone, you know, they started hurting everybody inside, and I know the Jacob Javits Center, I've been there before, and I know that the convention is upstairs, so I see them shuttling everybody downstairs. I'm like, the convention's up there, why are we going down here? I hope I'm not in the wrong line. Get down to the basement, and there's, the entire basement of the Javits Center is split in half, On the right side is the entrance to the actual convention. On the left side is the line for the main stage, so you can, you know, go check out whatever panels are going on. Mm-hmm. On the right was five columns, probably... you probably had about 500 to 600-700 people crammed in per column, and there was five of them.
Wow.
And I was like one of the earlier rows, so another hour and a half before they actually got us into the con.
So 3 hours just
waiting. Just to get in. Yeah, just waiting, just to get in.
Fuck.
Yeah, it was wild. But once in, it was amazing. I mean, good Lord, Artist Alley was its own section of the building.
That's awesome.
Which is incredible. You know, got to hang out. Brian Stelfreeze was there, so I got to bust him up a little bit.
Good. Got to go hang out with your old teacher.
Yeah, the old master in Jedi skills. And then got to meet a ton of new artists, freaking just running down the line of books that I pick up. Andrew McLean and his new Head Lover, like Volume 1 came out. That's incredible. Apocalyptic Girl, also by Andrew McLean, incredible. God, Janet Leigh, saw her.
Oh, yeah. Did you and Janet end up ever talking about, like, getting something working?
We're going to talk about something probably around Christmas time, she said.
That's awesome, dude.
And yeah, she's such a sweetheart, too. She took a stack of my business cards.
Dude, she is one of the best people in the industry. I love seeing her every time that she's at Heroes. Like, I wish we lived a little closer to her, because she was actually one of the people that basically got us started doing this.
Yeah, she helped out a lot.
Yeah.
I owe
a lot to her.
She's amazing. She really is. And she took a stack of my cards. She had them on her table, which was super nice of her.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just met so many people. I probably handed out, like, 250 business cards.
Nice.
It was incredible. I wish I had the funds to buy art and books from everybody that I met.
Yeah.
Because it was just overwhelmingly insane.
I almost accidentally stole a book at Dragon Con.
What?
Yeah, dude. Like, the guys that were handing out their, like, monkey zombie space book or whatever. Yeah. Like, those guys that pitched this shit. I didn't remember that they handed me the fucking first issue, and I was holding it, talking to him for about 10 minutes doing the PR thing, and then I was like, cool, it was good to meet you guys, we'll circle back around, and the guy goes, are you planning on, you want to buy the first issue? And I was like, I'll get it when I come back around, and he goes, can I have it back then? And I look down, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you totally can, since this is theft, what I'm doing right now. I will not steal this. I will hand it back to you like a civilized human being and carry on about my day instead of looking like an asshole that's just trying to steal from an indie label.
You already looked like an asshole.
More of an asshole than I already did.
Today on Atlanta News 12.
Some fat bearded guy with suspenders gets jumped on by 50 nerds while he tries to steal a $3 comic.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was cool, though. Got to talk to people at Marvel. Marvel's booth was crazy.
Yeah,
I was really pissed that I couldn't get in on Friday because they were doing portfolio reviews Thursday night.
Who was doing them?
Marvel was. I don't know who was reviewing them.
Oh, okay.
But you had to, like, fill out a form and then leave your portfolio with them. And then you would have to check back on Friday morning and see if you made the cut to get actual portfolio review.
Oh, wow. So it's not like the one at Heroes where you go and have a personal sit-down with...
Oh, no. Okay. They don't have time for that shit anyway.
Yeah. And it's in the city where people are working. And
Yeah,
so they... But they were really awesome. They took my card anyway. They were very sentimental to my predicament.
Yeah, that's nice.
So Marvel took my card and was really enthusiastic. DC was also really enthusiastic. Gave me a lot of good directions and where to submit my work. I've got Oni Press kind of broke the rules and took a look at my portfolio nonchalantly and seemed to be impressed, which was awesome.
Why were they not supposed to do that?
They were.
How Oni does it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're not allowed to actually do portfolio reviews at the con. Yeah.
Okay.
The young lady was nice enough to say, you know what, just flip it open and...
I'll just happen to see what's in it.
I'll just happen to flip the pages as I talk to you. And I'm like, that's awesome. And yeah, she seemed really nice about it, but she took my card. So going to be submitting to the three bigs. Oni's definitely on the list. Image is next on the list. Along with, oh God, a list of emails of people to email. So. Yeah.
That's fantastic, dude. It's been really cool watching you kind of climb the ranks and learn how to...
It's not, you know, it's not even ranks, though, at this point. I've been doing this for 8 years.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, just now starting to see, like, the door barely crack open. And they're I don't know if I want you in here, but I'm going to open the door a little bit.
Right.
And I'm just waiting for that opportunity that, like, the tip of my boot can get in and I can just, like, get... karate kick the door open.
But it's definitely I don't know if it's necessarily because of how lucky you are as versus how much work at least I've seen you put in, but like you're definitely getting somewhere. Like you're definitely progressing at least with the potential opportunities you have, even if nothing's like totally materialized for you.
Oh yeah, that, I mean, within the last year and a half, 2 years, it's really become something. Oh, and I think it's just because the persistency of myself just constantly bringing new portfolios to Heroes Con. Now New York Comic Con is definitely on the list. You know, I'm going to try and hit North Carolina Comic Con.
Yeah!
Bro, we got things to talk about.
We're going to try. We're going to talk about this.
Bring the pain train.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've got
calling
some...
it now. Dinner Thursday night or Friday night. Friday night
if it happens and he's there.
I've got some new things in the works. Cullen Bunn.
I don't freak out because I'm screaming in my head.
Writer of Six Gun, for those listening that don't know who he is.
Trust me, everyone who listens to this podcast knows who the fuck
Alex, yeah, they is. Should Alex they really sure. should
he's great.
Cullen is an amazing human being, number one.
Yeah, he's the nicest fucking dude.
Insanely nice and super enthusiastic about my work, really spreading the word about me.
Nice.
Which is excellent.
Yeah.
But he and I have been talking a little bit and may or may not have a surprise coming within the next 3 or 4 months, maybe 6 months.
Well, awesome.
See what happens.
Maybe not. Congratulations.
Maybe not. We're waiting to see how things go.
That's cool though. That's awesome that you're even having that conversation.
Yeah, but even just having the conversation and he's just a nice guy. He's a really freaking nice guy. And Brian Stelfreeze, going back to him, because Brian's probably been the one. Him and Laura Martin, those have been like the two key people in my progression.
Right.
Laura Martin's always been there for support and giving me pointers on, you know, what she would tweak, but she's always very sweet about it. She never says anything negative, which drives me nuts.
Yeah.
99% of the time, because I want to know what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah. You want that red ink.
Yeah. I want the red ink on the page. And Brian is the guy who does that, because Brian will be like, you know, open my portfolio and then he'll close it real quick and look at me and give me that, like, I want to punch you in the face stare.
I've seen him do that to you.
First time, because like we've told our stories of our first cons a few times, and like I mentioned that my first one was with you when we went down to Heroes years and years ago, when like you introduced me to Laura Martin and you introduced me to Stelfreeze before I knew who like any of these fucking people were.
Yeah.
And the fact that a lot of the things that I picked up before I was even in comics and shit, before I, you know, got into it like this, picked up some prints and some shit, and like a lot of it's hanging up in the room that we're in.
Yeah.
Including, dude, your Silver Surfer's on my wall.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. That's an old one. With that whole series. Yeah, the ones, all the ones that I bought from you that you signed and shit.
Yeah, yeah, Jay, Jay did. Jay and I did. Oh, wow. Yeah, that is old, dude.
Well, dude,
yeah.
I've still got all the other ones, too. Like, they're all just, like, sitting around waiting for me to get frames and shit. So, like, I've got your work on my walls.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. You see, we get compliments on it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Lots of people come in and talk about how much they love that Silver Surfer.
Oh, that's so cool. I actually ran into Jay at New York Comic Con at the Oni booth. He was handing out pitch comics and stuff. But yeah, Brian's always been the one to be like, you're pissing me off.
Yeah.
And here's why. Within the last 2 years, it's not so much been you're pissing me off. It's been like, wow, you're really kicking my ass. and it's awesome. And this year at Comic-Con, I brought him the edits to the Batman pages that I had at Heroes. You guys saw those.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So I went back and I did the edits that everyone made comments and corrections and everything else. So I went back and I tweaked all the pages. I tweaked every page, actually, that I had from Heroes. I went back and I brought that portfolio to Brian, and he was every page. He was like, this right here. This. Oh, yes. What the fuck? Yes. Awesome. Dope. Dude, you're killing it. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Thanks for saying that. And then he was like, do I have your business card? I'm like, you probably have about 30 of them over the last few years. And he was like, all right, give me another one, and I want you to email me. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to email you, like, today. And I was like, why am I emailing you, Brian? He goes, well, I'm going to send you Black Panther pages. I almost pissed my pants standing in front of him. I was so excited. Wow. And the Black Panther series? Dope.
Dope.
Like, Coates and Stelfreeze might be the greatest combination of illustrator and writer to ever happen.
It's a
good fucking combo, man.
It's incredible. And beauty of it is listening to Brian talk about working with Coates. Like, that is... he was talking about it with a bunch of people at Comic-Con, and it was just mind-blowing.
So are you like officially on board with that, or is he getting samples?
He's giving me samples. No. He's giving me samples for the portfolio. He wants to see how I handle it versus how Laura handles it.
Okay, because I was about to say, I was like, that's big. Like,
Tony wouldn't casually just
drop drop that bomb. No. I'd be screaming like a little girl.
We would have heard about that from him off air.
Yeah,
that's sure.
True. Yeah, I would have called you up crying.
You'd still be crying.
Yeah.
You'd probably still be like at the con center exactly where that happened.
Oh, in a puddle of my own piss and tears.
Yeah.
And then somebody would come up and try to buy your shoes off of you. These aren't covered in piss. These are Jordans.
And the fucking story comes full circle. Thanks, this has been Name Redacted Podcast.
We need a callback horn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, don't. Don't do it. I see what you're doing. Don't do it.
I don't know if I still have it.
The Vuvuzela horn?
It's the... Here we go. Bwah, 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 bwah.
Oh.
Don't put that close to that microphone.
Oh God, I'm taking my headphone off a little bit.
That's fine.
That's good. That's not bad. Yeah. You know what? I actually need that for my work tomorrow at the vineyard.
Just it's an app called Ham Horn.
Ham Horn?
Ham. Because it also, hold on, it also does this.
Because it also looks like ham. It has a smell app. What?
What the fuck is that? She's saying ham.
Ham.
Also, there's Wilhelm.
Yeah, Wilhelm scream. That's good.
And then there's
there's one more.
Oh,
Tony, you need that one every time somebody comes up and orders like a fucking Long Island iced tea. Boom.
Yeah, you see, I just serve wine. And, funny story, now that you bring up a Long Island iced tea. was drinking one on the train back to my aunt's house from Comic-Con.
Yeah.
They serve booze on the train?
Sure. It's like an airplane.
I was going to say, it's public transit. It's the LIR.
He said they don't.
They don't. But I put one in a cup. And got on the train with it.
Attaboy.
Came with
me. Attaboy.
And it made the ride home that much better.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it definitely did. But yeah, that's about it on my new block end. I mean, I've just been working. I got Game of Thrones series stuff that I'm working on.
Oh, I love that series.
Yeah, I just started doing a new one with Arya. Spoiler alert. Her slitting the throat of that one guy.
Of the waif? No. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
The guy who orchestrated the Red Wedding.
Yeah. Yo, that was so satisfying.
Yeah.
I just started a watercolor. I'm working on the pencils of that one.
Dude, your watercolors of the fucking Game of Thrones characters, just so fucking good. They're so good. And like, I don't understand how all of them haven't been sold already.
You know, they haven't, and it's kind of cool and kind of not at the same time. Because I really like the originals, and I don't want to sell them, but at the same time, I really, really want to sell them.
If you come to NC, bring prints of them, and I will buy them off of you.
How many you want? Because I think I have 100 of each right now.
Well, just one of each. Of
each. Yeah. Oh, all right,
what am I going to do with a fucking 100 prints of the Hound?
I don't know. Make it as wallpaper. I don't give a shit.
It's
the best wallpaper print you could possibly have. Man.
Who's that fuck ugly guy on the... It's the Hound. You cunt. It's, shut up.
Wallpaper. It's the Hound. I have it in my bathroom. Leave me alone.
Yeah!
It's a fucking
dueling.
Horn war.
It's dueling air horns.
Oh, man. I'm so glad I got this app now.
Dude, I remember Janet Lee sitting there pressuring you about selling one of them to her. She was like, how much are they? And you're like, well, the compress. She goes, no, how much are they? If I'm buying them like a normal, real person, how much are they worth? And you're like, well, I mean, for you. And she goes, no, how much are they? And you're just like, there's X amount of money. And she goes, totally reasonable. That was it. Like, there was no, that, like, she wasn't like, oh, I'd come down. She was like, eh, reasonable. Totally reasonable.
Yeah. So I hate when I try to talk to my friends about things that they're doing, and I'm like, no, I want to buy one. And they're like, okay, so give me, like, $10. I'm like, Let me buy one.
You see, but that's just, you know, in my defense, I'm trying to be nice, and it's humbling and, like, a big honor for Janet to even ask for one.
Yeah.
And so... I don't know if Fulmer or you guys noticed my facial expression when she said how much for one, and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
$45 napkins.
A high five and a hug. I don't know.
Give me a Coke and a Hot Pocket.
Yeah. I understand that, though. I'm the same way. I have a really hard I'm the worst about like sneaking friends into shows to see me play and stuff. Like, I don't want to charge people. I mean, I want to get paid, but like. Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know. It's awkward. Yeah, and I have. Well, actually, it's funny. I'm working on a album cover for. You remember Dale Ruffin?
Yeah.
He goes by the handle Twin Zeus. Incredible rapper, linguist, really. He's insane. He's living out in California now. He's working on a mixtape. It's gonna drop soon. It'll be like mixtape number 5 or 6, but I'm working on an album cover, and he's like, dude, how much you want for it? Like, how much you want for the work? I'm like, nothing, honestly. And he's like, no, how much you want for it? I'm like, nothing. And then he's like, why don't I buy a car part? And I'm like,
okay.
All right, maybe.
It's Tony's version of I'll do this for pizza and beer.
Yeah.
I'll do it for car parts.
Will, or comic just books. Like, I'm just picturing you outside of NYCC just holding a sign that's like, Will Color for Car Parts.
Oh my that's God. You know what? I'm writing that down because that's going to be an illustration in the portfolio.
Oh my God. Nice. Just draw you standing out in front of a convention center with a sign that says, Will Color for Car Parts.
And then to the unknowing, they'd be like, this motherfucker wants a coloring book.
I will color car part comic book.
Just don't look at him, sweetie.
one of the booths at New York Comic Con was just for adult coloring books.
Oh, that market is insane.
Ridiculous. And
if I were
here
a penciler, I would be printing money doing that.
Yeah. And I should have stopped at the booth just to pick up stuff that I could scan in and color. It dawned on me after I left. I'm like, holy crap. I could have bought a coloring book and just started coloring. But then,
you know what else? You could probably have a kick-ass Instagram account of your colorings in an adult coloring book.
Also, great idea.
You're welcome. Right.
You're welcome.
These are free.
These are free?
Hey. Yeah. I don't have to. That's yours, man.
You can get them for like 5 for $10 at Michael's or somewhere like that. A lot of times they'll run sales where you can get adult coloring books 5 for $10.
You just call it. Just call the Instagram Zolo Colors.
Dope.
That's good.
That sounds like a great idea.
So you know what, dude? Those Spidey pages, like, bravo. This thing looks so fucking good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The colors are good. The artwork storytelling was a little bit of a challenge because they're lacking in that department. But they're not my illustrations, so I really shouldn't talk about them that way. The coloring was fun.
The exposition of the pages themselves don't matter when you're talking about just the what you're doing with color.
Yeah, and they worked. They really worked. They showed. They allowed me to do that cell shading, which was great because I only have a couple of pages in the portfolio that actually just have pure cell shading. I'm actually opening up those pages right now to do some edits from the con. Nice. But
question on that note.
Yeah,
I think you're the first colorist that we've had on the podcast proper.
True,
the only one that's color.
Hello?
We're good.
He's the only one that we've had on that's a colorist primary.
How much storytelling do you get to do through coloring? Or is it more just setting a scene?
Well, that depends on the art that I'm given.
Right.
For example, the Spider-Man pages have to do a little bit more storytelling on those pages in the sense of panel progression and showing conflict. So I tried to warm up the panels as I move through them just to kind of heat up that action.
Yeah.
And that's the point that I'm actually going to be editing tonight is going through and messing with a little bit of the hue saturation and the gray values to try and make them pop a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to start playing with the tones to progress. So, a quick example, that first page, you've got Venom chasing Spider-Man through the city. Okay. It's fairly cool. Yeah. The following panel is Venom's hand, closing in on Spider-Man, and he's got, his little spider-sense tingling. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to actually warm that panel up, because right now it's cooled down. Well, not cooled down. It's warm. I want to increase that. What makes it hard is, Spider-Man's costume.
Yeah.
Spider-Man being red and blue, you kind of have to play against that. It's all based off of what you're given.
I can't even imagine doing what the two things I have cannot fathom in comic books are coloring and lettering.
Agreed.
Because the tiny amount of coloring that I've done, just making it so that the contrast and things pop out and colors don't overlap is insane in and of itself.
They're almost arcane. They're mysterious, and they're just I'm making a motion with my
hand. How much color theory stuff do you do that you think about, or do you kind of just envision stuff more?
It's a combination of both. What I tend to do, so Kevin Nolan Batman pages that you guys saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kevin Nolan is an exceptional storyteller.
Yeah.
Unbelievable storyteller. Love his work. His inks are incredible. His storytelling is incredible. That was more of envisioning what the story looks like as I went.
Yeah.
So I would actually open up the whole story, the whole 8 pages in Photoshop and start very roughly throwing in color on those pages and then start flipping through all of them in sequence to see how they would line up.
Just watching the transitions.
Exactly. And then it started to form into a little bit more of color theory, but you kind of bounce back and forth, or at least that's what I do. I find, you know, I want to do something that looks good, but at the same time, I also want to tell a story, and I want to enhance the artist before me.
Right.
So, you know, the penciler or the inker is always trying to enhance the penciler, and as a colorist, I'm always trying to enhance the inker.
Right, especially because they're setting a lot of those hard boundaries with their thicker lines and stuff.
Oh yeah, and I mean, they're setting the tone, too. Like, you know, if they're throwing in spotted blacks and creating, you know, cast shadows, or you've just got, like, rim lighting against really harsh blacks, then you know that there's a certain mood that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times, too, a lot of the pages that I color don't have text. Like, the Spider-Man doesn't have text.
Right.
So I don't know what the context is of this chase.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you know,
I don't know
what your bubble placement's going to be roughly and stuff? Or?
I should. I have a good idea at when looking at a page.
Right. But you don't. But, nobody's told
but
you.
But I don't know. Yeah, nobody's told me. Especially on, like, stuff for my portfolio.
Right.
And all the stuff that I have colored that already has word, it already has word balloons or word bubbles and mm-hmm. side text. Those are already in there.
Right.
So I don't ever have to really worry about that. Like, same with Max's Flag Hunter.
Yeah.
That whole book, he already had it lettered. It was already done. He did everything by hand.
Yeah.
So when I got it, I already had the story. I had read it a million times, and that's why it took me so long to freaking color that story, because I just kept reading it. But
that's a good problem.
It's a great problem, actually. And he just sent me. Speaking of Max, he just sent me his, and I meant to have it done by New York Comic Con, and there was just no way that I could get it done between my work schedule and getting all my other pages done. But he sent me his new story, also going to be incredible, especially when I'm done with it. But he's got great storytelling going on in this next one, and I'm super stoked for the next Flag Hunter that's he's going to be working on. Max is great, and I love working with him because him and I get each other a little bit. Like, I know how to color him, and he draws in the style that I understand.
Yeah.
So the translation between us is fairly easy. But yeah, I hate flatting him. I hate flatting his work. I want to kill him when I have to flat a page. But
explain to people what flatting is,
because
a lot of people are going to know what that is.
Sorry, flatting is basically,
or just kind of just walk people through what you do a little bit, because I think a lot of people don't know what a colorist really does.
Yeah, I think you should also set up a YouTube account that does time lapse of your coloring things
and explaining the color.
Yeah,
like how to color, because that's,
guys, I'm not that good. I promise.
it would be different.
But people would like to see the process. That's a good way to.
Yeah, the process is cool. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to actually open a page right now.
You know, if you think about it, neither is Chad Kroger, but he's a fucking millionaire.
That's a trade-off. He had to marry Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, I mean, he took a hit for us. All right, I'm going to open up. I just have this Weapon X, like, splash page. So basically, flatting is the process before you actually start coloring. So basically what I do is I take a black and white image, it's inks, and set it up in Photoshop so that you have your ink work separated from your actual page.
Mm-hmm.
And flatting is basically the process of going through, and in my case, I'm adding random flat color to define certain items on the page. So, like, I'll describe this page to you. It's Wolverine Logan walking through snow next to a wolf, which is kind of cool. And he's, like, covered in all of his, like, Weapon X. Like, he's just broken out, and he's got, you know, all the wires and stuff are still connected to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a nicely set up page, very simple. But basically what flatting is me breaking up the panel, breaking up the page into certain sections. So Logan's hair is going to be one color. His skin is going to be another color. The straps around his arms are going to be another color. and so forth. And so I break everything down. It all has its individual color.
Yeah.
And it's bound within the lines.
And that's kind of like the coloring book kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
it's like color numbers.
Exactly. It's like paint by numbers. I'm setting the page up like paint by numbers. It's a very easy way to explain it. And all that is doing is it's making it easier for me to when I actually start coloring, so I can go back and make selections from those portions. So like later on, you know, if I just want to color Logan and his skin, I can just select his skin and just work on that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have to, you know, sit there and try and go in between all the wires and all the roping and all this other stuff.
Which I guess is a kind of a modern invention with Photoshop, because if you're hand coloring,
you don't have a choice.
You don't have to, yeah.
Yeah, hand coloring. Yeah, hand coloring, you're just doing it and you have to work with what you're given.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when I do with watercolors. I guess they're a little bit more forgiving at that point, but at the same time, the flatting is just tedious work. I'm slow at it. I'm super, super slow. It'll take me like an hour to an hour and a half, depending on the complexity of the page, to flat it. The longest flatting job or flatting page I ever had was a giant pinup by, I think it was a commission piece. It was inked by Mark Morales. Met him at New York Comic Con, by the way. And he wants me to tag him in the piece that I'm actually talking about. But it was a commission piece of like Galactus versus all the Avengers. And there's like tons of shit going on and effects and bullshit. And it was super complex, and it took me like 4 hours, 5 hours to flat the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually had to color it, and coloring only took me like an hour and a half. So it was just like complete kick in the nuts.
God damn it, legwork!
Yeah, exactly.
It is sort of the paperwork of coloring.
Yeah, it is. It's the paperwork. It's bullshit work.
It's my version of how I feel about storyboarding. I fucking hate storyboarding. Like, I can't stand it. Like, it just sucks so much. And like, when, especially like as a writer, when you're first trying to decide when you're like laying out your first script, trying to decide like, okay, how many panels? Okay, what size? Okay, where are they going to be? Is it the angled panels? Okay, is the panel going to be over? And are we doing picture-in-picture panels? How many panels can I put on one panel? 30? No, not 30. 20. 12. Okay, 12. 12 panels.
The panel, 12 panels.
The panel outs. The idea that I have to, I'm setting up a page turn, but I have to have this much content, and oh, by the way, it has to stretch out to two pages because the page turn is actually on the next page. And
Yeah.
Or should I add?
Or if you're doing a fucking two-page splash, you have to make sure that, like, oh, shit, it's an odd and an even page. So the double-page panel is now not facing the person.
Yeah.
So now it doesn't matter. Like, there's the seam. And the seam is supposed to be these two pages as one fucking contiguous page, but it's not because you have to turn the fucking page. Yeah. So now I either have to add or subtract a full fucking page from somewhere in my story.
So once you get the base color down, what do you start shading next? Or?
Once I get those flat colors down, then I go back and I start adding like natural color. So skin tones, you know, if he's wearing denim jeans, I'm going to add denim jeans, you know, denim color. Mm-hmm. And I start adding those flat tones on top of the flats themselves in a new layer. And then once those are done, then I start the render. And render, I typically start with light source first. I figure out where that light source is coming from. If there's multiple light sources, and then, you know, that continues, and I render. And then after, you know, I get my basic rendering down, then I start messing with effects. Like if it's Thor and he's got his hammer and there's lightning, I start doing the glows and seeing how the glows affect the other colors and affect the inks. And then, you know, I'll start going back and tweaking the color, and I'll set moods and everything else. I'll work around that, make sure my gray values are, you know, popping and working together. And then like I'll start doing all the tweaky things like messing with the line art. like doing color holds on the line art. And a color hold is basically going over that black, like black line and turning it into a color.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, wow, all, you're a magician, magic. Dude. Jeez.
So magic. Given like doing the color thing, one big thing that I've noticed that I think probably a lot of people have also noticed but haven't realized that they're noticing is the tone of a page is really dependent on you as a colorist. Because if you have a one-point light source and it's from overhead and you just take something that's super inked, but that light source is in a dark alley in the middle of the night, you're blacking out a lot of that inks. Yeah. Like, you mm-hmm. have to get rid of a shit ton of things because the shadows are going to be long and extended and dark. And I feel like a lot of people probably wouldn't really, I guess, up front appreciate the fact that a lot of the tonal quality of a page really comes from the colors and like what palette you use, how warm and how soft and all the different things. Because if you color a page two different ways, it's two different pages.
Yeah, I mean, you can... Well, that's what I had the trouble with the Spider-Man pages.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man pages could be taken as daytime or nighttime. I am going to assume that they plan it to be in daylight. Mm-hmm. Like middle of the day, you know, noon, and here's Venom and Spider-Man swinging through, you know, the city. I switched it up. I made it like dusk, nighttime.
Yeah.
Just because I like that better. That gives me a better feel of what's going on. It allowed me to play with a little bit harsher light sources, which I could push further. Going back and looking at the pages now, there's a lot of edits that I want to make to it, but.
Make sure you post the edits so we can see the difference.
Yeah, I want to try and do a kind of like... I'm not going to change the actual layers that are already there. I'm going to add new ones on top of it so that I don't change it so I can flip back and forth.
A-B it, yeah.
Yeah, and just do that. And I really, really have to get better at posting my shit online.
Yes.
Because I am terrible at it. I am really bad at the whole updating both social media and
the
Behance page.
Yeah, dude, I'm learning.
Yeah, I tagged you today, Tony.
I saw that. You saw me. I saw the tag on the tweets.
Oh, man. I'm just glad, like, when we started doing this, I was like, handling all the social media because I was the only one that, like, really knew the ins and outs of it. And these guys have been taking over more and more of it as we've been going on. And, like, when we first started, they were like, why do you not want to do this? It's just posting things to the internet. Like, you just type some things and hit send. I was like, man. And so it's nice that you guys are like starting to appreciate that. Like,
no, from the very beginning, I told you I don't want to do that because that sounds like that sucks.
It's terrible.
It really does. And
a friend of mine does it for a living.
Well, I know a ton of people who are actually working for like mega companies just to run their social media sites.
Yeah.
That would kill me. I would die if I had to be like, oh, what am I doing today? It's 9 o'clock. I just got to the office. Oh, time to tweet.
Wonder what I'm going to do today.
Oh, you know what? The wind's blowing in a northeast direction. Instagram that shit.
Trending. And you get so desensitized, but when you do so much of it, you get so desensitized to like what people care about.
Yeah.
That's why you get so much terrible social media shit.
Well, then you start to look at social media from corporate.
Yeah.
And you can see the matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing. Like, if anybody ever likes you or follows you and then unfollows you 20 minutes later, that's... They've hired a company.
So easy to
do that.
Disingenuous when you just see all of the screws everywhere. You know,
that's why when I look at my followers, I'm like, they still follow me? I'm surprised.
See, I don't even know how to even look at my followers. I know my followers on Instagram because a good majority of them are people who like BMW shit. I'm like,
more shit about cars than you do comics.
I know.
Like, if I had to guess based on your social media, you're a mechanic that lives in Long Island.
Yeah.
Just like every other Italian dude in Long Island.
Yeah.
You either own a restaurant. You either own a restaurant or a garage.
I own both. Okay. All right.
Okay.
It sounds like you need to start coloring pictures of like Spider-Man on a car.
And he,
yeah,
you should throw your E50 in a comic sometime.
And he also owns a judge. Yeah. Because that's also something Italian people own.
Owning a judge? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
A judge? No. Let me explain the stereotype to you. We own the police, and then you own the judge. And then if you're lucky, you can own the DA.
Yeah, having a DA in your pocket is killer.
Calm down, Batman.
Holy fuck.
You rendered that?
Yeah.
Let me see.
What the fuck?
Wait. I've been trying to send this for like the last 20 minutes.
That is insanity.
That is fucking holy crazy.
All right, so it started off like
God damn.
And it's probably going to take another 20 minutes for this to send.
That's a two-page splash?
That's a one-page...
That's like a one-page pinup.
Okay. It was a commission that when I mentioned it to Mark Morales, he was like, oh my God, I do remember that. Holy crap. And I'm like, yeah, I colored it. He goes, what? Really? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, whoa, tag me in that? And I'm like, yeah, let me figure out how to tag somebody.
What the fuck is a hashtag?
Yeah.
What are you people talking about?
Is that when you
there's
that.
A keyboard.
When that's you do that, is that when you do the at symbol?
No, that's an at mention. A hashtag is the...
A hashtag is when you throw hash browns at people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what they were doing at Waffle House.
I've been kicked out of many a Waffle House for hashtagging. Because, I don't know if you know this, but when it's topped with Bert's chili, cleaning that grout is a bitch.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
hashtag hash brown tag.
Hash brown tag.
Do you guys remember in high school when we used to go to Waffle House and they'd just be chain smoking cigarettes?
Like, that was me and my high school girlfriend. We went to the Louisville Clemens Waffle House.
No, I'm not talking about the people eating there. I'm talking about the people serving you the fucking food.
Yes, fucking course.
The cook is sitting there, the entire cigarette is ash.
Yeah.
And somehow has not fallen into my scrambled fucking eggs and what the fuck else ever you get from Waffle House because I can't remember because I'm not drunk.
Now I want Waffle House.
Tony, me and you used to go fucking eat Waffle House smoke.
Exactly.
I got caffeine poisoning.
Yeah, it was.
It was shitty when you ordered like loaded hash browns and the loaded hash browns came with the cigarette ash.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Covered, smothered, and carcinogened.
Carcinogen.
That was harder to say than I expected.
I would have just gone with ashed.
Ashed.
Ash. It's smoked. Ash browns. They're ash browns.
Ash browns.
Ash browns.
Hashtag ash brown.
Hash brown. Hashtag hash brown tag ash browns.
Pin pineapple, pineapple pin.
Hey, you got no pins. Welcome to hell. That's
got a cigarette ash on your hash browns. Welcome to hell.
Jesus.
Wonderful. Where are we at? What's going on?
We're about at wrap up point.
Okay.
But we're gonna have Tony back on again.
Yeah, because if you come to NC, we can record an actual in the room.
We can episode. Do it in the room. We can do a an old school dig around.
Do it real drunk.
Yeah.
Hashtag like, bring back drunk Colin. Tweet it. Get that shit trending.
Well, before we end.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you guys for having me on here, and I missed the hell out of you.
We miss you too, brother.
And, Fulmer, I'm sending you the flats to that page.
Okay.
Yes,
just
please.
Kind of hell. I sent it to your phone. It says delivered.
Okay. It'll be here in a minute.
It'll be there in a minute. And
oh, there you go.
Cool. Right now? Oh, yeah. Prepare yourself for that fuck face.
I'm terrified.
Oh, fuck you.
What?
Jesus Christ.
Let me see it.
That's too much flatting. Like, look at it.
Oh, my God,
dude. That's insane.
You know, they did less work than that on some comics that came out in the 60s.
Yeah, they did.
Less work than that on fucking Suicide Squad 6 months ago. Like, are you kidding me?
Hey, haven't seen that movie yet. I'm kind of glad I haven't.
It's not that bad.
It's not that terrible.
You have a dollar theater?
No.
Nothing in
New York costs a dollar.
Do you have like a cheap like old movie theater kind of?
You mean a bootlegger? Yeah, yeah. I got one of those.
Yeah, bootlegger.
Do you cool. have the internet? Yeah, worth it.
Yeah. All right.
There's a gambling thing called Pirate Bay. It doesn't exist anymore, and I'm not condoning downloading.
No, I was actually asking because I think it's a good dollar theater movie because it's worth seeing in the theater, but it's not worth paying $10 for.
Yeah.
Zolo, also, you're going to have to stick around a little bit after this because me and you have business to talk.
We're going to talk about it.
Oh, we're going to talk back.
Just you two, though. I'm hungry.
Go tall.
I'm going home.
Go tall.
We want to go ahead and
pick a plug.
That was a weird thing that just kind of happened out of nowhere that I don't like. So we're not that's not going to be the new standard.
I just wanted the ham horn afterwards.
Zolo coming in clutch.
So we'd like everyone to welcome our fourth host, Anthony Zolo. You're welcome.
Soundboard operator.
I'm so glad we don't have a soundboard.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a sad...
He sad horned us.
Sad tromboned.
Oh, my God. That's so good.
Just got sad boned by Zolo.
Oh, my God.
Is that the title of the episode?
Sad boned by Zolo.
Oh, please let that be the title of the episode.
What'd she say?
She said...
What'd you say?
It sounded like when you're crying and having sex.
That's Tuesday. It's in my calendar.
Sad bone with my girlfriend. Work. Wah, wah, wah.
Work.
Sad cry bone fuck. With the
girlfriend. Use your tears,
Lube. No more lube, let me go use your tears. Welcome to hell.
Oh, my God.
Your girlfriend says it's your turn for the strap on. Welcome to hell.
Tony, have you seen that movie? Hell and Back?
Hell and Back?
No.
It's on Netflix. Watch it. Yeah.
That's the Hell and Back, or the Welcome to Hell.
The story is in shambles, but the voice acting is good. Overall, it's pretty funny.
And the torment that the demons have to do is
just brilliant.
It's spectacular.
I'm not going to bury the lead with it, but just watch it.
It's worth watching.
Just remember, there's an amazing running bit called Welcome to Hell.
Okay, Tony, how this works, what we're going to do is we're all going to pick something that we feel like you think our listeners? Yeah. Shut the fuck up, Jarvis.
Fucking Jarvis from the other room. Listeners?
I hope you never move in here.
He broke me.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, good one.
I was here first.
you'll
make a pick that you think all of our listeners should check out, consume, whatever. It could be a sandwich.
It's actually true.
I would pick a sandwich.
I've picked food before.
A movie, whatever you want to do. Just something you think we should check out. And I'm going to go first because I have one right off the top of my head.
Go for it.
I recently discovered a hip-hop artist called Logic. I heard him on Dan Harmon's podcast, Harmontown. He's smart, funny, intelligent. His music is top-notch. What?
You said smart twice, basically.
Okay.
I'm not going to fight her on this.
Anyway, is it becoming a thing? Interrupt Colin while he's making his picks.
Respect.
Put some respect on my name.
Colin, respect Norris, Colin, everybody.
Respect Norris. It's worth checking out. He's got two full-length albums and somewhere around 6 or 7 mixtapes. His second album, The Incredibly True Story, is a rap opera, a sci-fi rap opera. It's really cool. Yeah, his name's Logic. Check him out.
Dope.
Next.
Okay. My turn then.
I can't go if you want me to.
American Spirit Cigarette? No, I'm just kidding.
Please sponsor us.
Please don't.
Please give me free fucking smokes. I will take that shit.
Gladly
die. I don't want to fucking hear it, by the way.
About us and low cigarette costs?
Yeah, fucking...
Anger?
What's a pack of cigarettes up there now, Rundy? Like a testicle?
Did he rage quit?
Oh my god, is he gone? Tony. Oh my god, we lost him.
All right, well, let's try to get Tony back on the line.
Yeah. Pause. And we're back!
Damn it, Colin. So cigarettes expensive up north. General idea. How much?
Do you want to know what I paid yesterday?
Yeah.
Pack of Marlboro Reds, $10.75.
No way.
Do you take, whenever you come down, do you take some home with you? Do you, like, grab a carton on your way?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
HeroesCon, I went home with a carton.
That's what I'm, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Side note, cheaper than North Carolina, buying the stale cigarettes from the Indian reservation.
Yeah. Yep.
That's
awesome. That's so good.
$2.50 a pack.
How far is the nearest
Cherokee?
No, from him.
From me, they're only about 15 minutes.
Oh, so
nice.
Yeah, those are great. Except the fact that they're real stale, as in like they don't light.
As in they were made when the settlers got here.
That's what it smells like and tastes like.
It's their revenge on the white man, and it's well deserved.
It's well engineered.
Yeah, that's
pretty much. Yeah.
So I guess my pick, my actual pick, while Chris farts in my direction,
is trying to be quiet.
A game that our good friend of the podcast, Matt Jarvis, has been super obsessed with lately that I've been really enjoying as well. It is a board game a card game called Smash Up.
Smash Up!
Yeah, it's very, very fun. Basic gist of the game is there are all these different factions of cards, and you pick two different factions that you think would work well together. You shuffle all the cards up, and you play, and it's just two basic card types. You've got minions, and you've got actions, and you're just trying to hit a point total. To win the game, and it's really interesting because you can do cool combos, and if you have all the expansion decks that are out right now, it's over 850 unique combinations of decks.
Yeah.
So you're never going to play the same game twice. It's always going to be interesting. It's a four-player game, like you 2 to 4 players. It's fun. It is.
It's a lot of fun, and especially if you really want to fuck your friends over, play the nerd deck.
The geek deck is just fucking rude.
Oh,
Will Wheaton is a sack.
Oh my god, I know. Shit. Oh, did you want to play? Well, you can't. Your card doesn't work, and you have to go sit outside for 20 minutes. it's mean as fuck.
It's good shit.
Will Wheaton. Yeah, it's great. It's a fantastic game. If you ever get the chance to pick it up, you should pick it up. It's only like $20 or $30 for the actual base game, and then I think the expansions run anywhere from like $12 to $35, depending on how many decks come in it. So I mean, it's a basically low level of,
and it's kind of a living card game because continue to, what the fuck?
Don't acknowledge it. Just keep talking.
Did you die, Tony?
I fell.
When he paused, I was like, oh shit.
Where's the sad trombone?
Oh, I got something. Hold on.
The will.
Oh, anyway,
God. Okay, so Chris, pick.
Man. Is the guest mic on? This is on. Throw it on.
Come on.
Mic.
Come on.
We have another mic.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah, now it's on.
Okay. My pick. I needed you to help me explain it. Is Jabblecast?
Oh,
yeah. It's a podcast. It's a.
Just rubbing the pop filter.
I don't know how things work.
That's how you just talk. It's a
microphone.
I can do that.
This is a guest we've had on before. A friend of ours, Jacob.
Yeah, this is my buddy Jacob.
Hey, Jacob.
Hello. So Drabblecast is a...
Drabble?
Drabble.
D-R-A-B-L-E.
Which is a term for a short fiction story that consists of 100 words. So it's usually like a sci-fi or a horror podcast. Some just like speculative fiction. It always starts out with a 100-word story. Then it goes into usually like a commission piece that maybe ran in like Beneath Ceaseless Skies or some other kind of like sci-fi anthology. Yeah.
And sometimes it's a radio drama. Sometimes it's a cold read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they always have like real good reading talent on there, and the guy who hosts it is usually like a guest host on Escape Pod if you're also into sci-fi stories and that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's awesome.
We didn't even EQ him, and he sounds great.
He's just a sexy motherfucker.
I try.
We have... EQ! Killed my bit, like, immediately.
And subscribe.
Yeah, it's great.
It's good. Like,
and they do some user-submitted stuff, too, right?
Yeah, and that's the drabbles, and then they also do a thing that they call twabbles at the end. It's a short story that consists of only 100 characters.
Yeah.
And all of those are user-submitted on their forums.
Spaces included as a character?
No, spaces don't count.
Okay. It's like a tweet story.
Yeah. So, and
then the spaces would count.
Well, but that would be 160 characters.
Shut up.
But that's all user-submitted. That's all on their forums. So every week you could go in, put a new one in, and see if you actually get up there. And it's a really cool community, and it's a lot of good work on it, too.
Yeah.
So
I'll check it out.
Tony.
Yeah.
Got a pick, buddy?
Can I have a couple?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. A couple of things. Over the Garden Wall, featuring Cara McGee. Great comic. Check it out. Really sweet, really cute illustrations. Good story. Very cool. Merry Men, featuring Jackie Lewis. Awesome book. Awesome comic.
Wait, like Our Jackie?
Our Jackie.
Yeah, dude. I need to get Jackie back on, man.
Yeah. Merry Men is really, really good. Awesome take on the Robin Hood story. And then I'm going to have to jump on Andrew McQueen and the Headlopper series. I mean, Headlopper. That's killer. You got to check that out. That is on my number one to read right now.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Plug.
And then, you know, check out my website and everything else.
What's your website?
Yeah.
Just check me out at Tony Zolo on Behance.net.
Okay. We'll throw that in the description.
That's all you want to plug?
That's all I want to plug. Oh, my next con appearance. Probably North Carolina. I'm going to... that's coming up in what, November?
November 11th, 12th, 13th.
11th, 12th, 13th.
Already took vacation for it.
Same.
I'm going to request off and see if I can get down there soon.
Cool. You can crash with me. You can cuddle with me and my girlfriend.
Ooh, come on.
A turn. Hey, we can all have a turn. There's three nights.
Everybody gets solo for one night.
Hey.
Actually, it's only two nights.
Best, fuck you, Chris. Best nights of your life. Chris, you can have me daytime.
Hell yeah. Oh! I get that morning bone.
Hey, look. Zolo
that's
can
sad
just,
bone.
That's sad bone. He can just Zolo can just sit on your lap during panels.
Oh, that'd be awesome too.
Oh, yeah, can we do that?
You'd be like you'll be like a rich white woman's shih tzu.
or you could just fucking move your mouth when Chris talks and he'll be
yeah,
like,
you can put your hands behind your back and I'll put my arms through your arms.
Oh man!
If we didn't freak out our panelists last year,
this is
yes,
by God, we're going to this year.
Tony Zolo's coming, everybody. Get ready.
That's what she said.
Put out a tweet. Come get sad boned at NCC.
Hashtag make Colin drunk again.
Hashtag make Colin drunk again. Tweet it. Trend it. Come on.
Instagram.
Yeah.
No, Charlie sent me a message that was like, or posted on one of our pages was like, I really miss Blackout Drunk Colin. Like, those were, to Charlie, like, the salad days were, like, drunk Colin.
Oh, wait, before we end, how are my boys at Hoots doing?
Oh, everybody's doing great, man. Olivia is now working there a lot more.
Awesome.
Things are going really well.
God, I miss Hoots. Oh, God, I need some Hoots brewing in my life. All right.
Well, if you're...
now that he's sad.
If you're good...
Sad bone.
If you're good, I may bring you a treat to NC Comic Con.
Which means... Oh. If you're good means if you show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just going to have to drink the growler of ESB by myself.
Oh, you fuck.
For our plugs for this week, we will be at NC Comic Con. We are confirmed to do a few different things there. Not everything hasn't been set in stone yet, but we will be there. We will be working. Yes. We will be doing
panel You'll be able to see stuff. Us in a live capacity.
Yes, in a pretty good fucking awesome capacity. We will have plushies. We will have buttons. We might have a few t-shirts there with us, so please come get free swag and all that shit.
Olivia's been working very hard.
Yes. Yes. To the business, fingers, to the bone.
Yeah. While we were having our business meeting, she's just sitting there fucking killing it with the fucking
Can
needles.
You take notes? No, I need to make these. You told me to make these. I can't take notes.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, I have a pen now. Okay. So, yeah. Come see us at NC Comic Con. You'll see Tony. Hopefully. I guess.
Yeah. I think
for right now, I think that's all.
I think that's it. This has been Name Redacted Podcast. I'm Chris Nielsen.
I'm Colin Norris.
And I'm Alexander Fulmer.
Go out and touch some butts.